With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri, on this fifth Sunday of Easter. Our worship begins on page 268 of the Lutheran hymnal. Our hymns this morning are hymns number 605, 802, 594, 725, and 922. Pastor Dan Wing's sermon is entitled Newly Born in Christ and taken from Acts 8, verse 26 through 40. Thank you to Betty Brandt and family for sponsoring our radio broadcast this morning in memory of Raymond and Donna Brandt. We also welcome, through Holy Baptism, Elijah Robert Dickinson, son of Chris and Jennifer Dickinson.
Good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. God's gracious peace and blessings be and abide with all of you, his good and his gracious people. Amen. Our order of worship this morning begins with baptism. What a wonderful way to begin our day in the Lord as Elijah is brought to the waters of holy baptism. I would invite the congregation to turn to page 268 in the front of your hymnals. And Dickinson family, as well as sponsors, godparents, if you all want to come forward, we'd be glad to have you. Make sure to bring a hymnal with you, too. Page 268 in the front of your hymnals. And we'll follow along there. We call upon God's name and the same name into which Elijah is baptized this day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, And in the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he was a big boy, but I'm assuming that he's not talking yet. All right, very good. So, if I could ask you all as parents then, how is this little boy to be named?
Elijah Robert Dickinson.
All right, very good. And Elijah, receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Amen. And we pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemn the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserve believing Noah and his family, eight souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray now that you would behold Elijah according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I address then you all as sponsor and as godparents. We praise God for your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and pray as we conclude here today that you would take seriously the role of making sure Elijah knows about Jesus and what Christ has done for him. And so it's always an encouragement for you all to do that. In the stead for Jennifer and Chris, if something were to happen to them, you all step in and say, this boy needs to know Jesus. And so we pray God's blessings upon you as you do this thing. And so I'll speak this in terms of kind of what responsibilities you all have. And if you intend then to do those things, I'll ask you to say so, yes, with the help of God. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. I ask you then, is it your intention to serve Elijah as sponsors and godparents in the Christian faith?
Yes, with the help of God.
Okay, very good. And hear the gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hey, it's all right. That's all good. She's part of it, you know. It's all right. We'll go ahead and join in saying the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to put my hand on his head, and we'll pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And Elijah, the Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. We'll join in confessing aloud what the Christian faith is, the faith into which Elijah is baptized into. And so we do so as I ask you, all in the presence of God here. Do you renounce the devil? Yes, I renounce him. Do you renounce all his works? Yes, I renounce them. And do you renounce all his ways? Yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
And do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
And do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? Yes, I believe. And then I ask you then as parents, do you desire for Elijah to be baptized?
Yes,
we do. We do. All right, very good. Well, let's go ahead and do this. Hey, Olivia. Hey, you going to watch this? Here. Hey, bud. Elijah Robert Dickinson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We did that to you a couple years ago. Yeah. Hey, Elijah. Oh. Hey. We join our hearts in prayer. Now to the font Elijah has traveled. Gracious Father, you have bestowed your mercy, your grace upon this little boy. How precious indeed the gift of life is. From conception forward, we belong to you, for you have called and claimed us, you have knit us together in our mother's wombs, and certainly the same can be said for little Elijah. Gracious Father, then, we thank and praise you for bringing him into saving grace, that by the waters of baptism, he is given a name that is yours and belonging to you. Gracious Father, then continue to hold this child in your loving and protecting arms. Bless his family. Be with Jennifer and Chris and Olivia as they welcome this newest member to their family, that you would bless them according to your will and to your purposes. And we entrust this little boy then to you, O Lord, that we may continue to train him up as best as we can. But we know ultimately that it is in your hands to which he belongs. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hello. All's well. Yeah, you did it. All right. I'll hand him off. There you go. All right. Well, we continue as well. Speak this blessing over you. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. And we pray also, we speak also, in holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Elijah, a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven and the one holy Christian Apostolic Church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our dear brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. And then finally we pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Elijah the new birth in holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I speak this to you as a family. Peace be with you, even in those moments when there is no peace, that you are indeed at peace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. All right. Very good. Sponsors and godparents, thank you so much for coming up. Appreciate it very much. And also wanted to give these things to you all as well. A certificate, awesome book, and then a cross that's got Elijah Robert on there and the date. And you can hang that up in his room as a reminder of him, of when God indeed called and claimed him by the waters of baptism. Oops, and I'll give you the napkin as well. All right. Thank you guys so very much. You guys can head back to your seats. Olivia, you can come up for children's message, okay? It's a deal. Very good. Awesome. It's wonderful to see God at work in his church and in his people as well, not only as he creates, but also as he calls to faith and giving of the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism. We continue in our service then with our psalm, Psalm 150. So if you page to the front of your hymnals, many of the psalms are printed there. And we'll find Psalm 150. It's a psalm of praise, the final of the psalms. We'll join in speaking it aloud together. Again, Psalm 150. We join our voices together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Can we, and then we turn to hymn number 802, and we join in singing. Our first appointed reading for this, the fifth Sunday of Easter. Can you believe it's been five Sundays since Easter? Time flies when you are having fun and when you're a child of God. Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 8 and will also be the basis for our message for this morning. Acts 8 verses 26 through 40. Probably one of the very few beyond the Gospel of John known texts in the New Testament. It seems like we kind of get to this one and then we get no further in Sunday school. But this is definitely a good text, one that we will meditate upon in a little bit with message. Again, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And that ends our first lesson. Our second lesson is from the epistle from John's first letter to the church. We turn to 1 John chapter 4 and read verses 1 through 21. Again, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 21. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love, does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That ends our epistle lesson. Finally, our gospel reading. Before we read it, we turn to page 205 in our hymnals. Page 205. At the very bottom there, you see the Alleluia and the verse. We'll join in singing both of those, but we'll stand to hear our gospel this morning. We stand and we sing.
Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia.
Our gospel this morning is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus teaches, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And that ends our gospel reading. You may be seated. We sing verse 1 of hymn number 594. Again, verse 1 of hymn number 594. We'll join in singing this first verse. Dovetails very well with baptism. It certainly is a welcome to our children to come forward for a message. Again, we sing verse 1 of God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. Verse 1 of hymn number 594.
Thank you.
getting pushed out of the way here. You bullies. All right. I'm going to step right through here. Whoops. Excuse me. Hi. All right. Good morning. Hey, that wasn't bad. I'll take it. Good morning to you guys. So good to see you here this morning. Glad to be in God's house. It's a beautiful day. You guys got to see a baptism, how this little baby Elijah, and a couple weeks ago we had another little baby, Oakland, who were baptized. And part of the language that we talk about with baptism is now they are part of God's, what's that? Family. Good. What makes a family? How do we know that you're part of a family? Yeah? You have the same last name. Very good. Yes, that kind of ties us together, doesn't it? Now, kind of tradition, not doesn't happen in every case, but in most cases, when a woman gets married, her last name changes to her husband's last name. Does that mean she's not part of the family anymore? No, she's still part of the family, but the family grows, doesn't it? So very good. How else do you know that you're part of a family? Hannah? Love. Yeah, Jesus talked about it, right? Our lesson from Scripture from 1 John talked about it, about love, that love is from who? God, and it comes to us, and then we can love one another. Yes, exactly. So did you guys just notice what I made? From God down to us and for everyone. A cross. Yes, we can know what love is. We can know what it is to be part of a family because of Jesus. He brings us into God's family. He brought little Elijah, who's done nothing but wet himself, poop his pants, eat, cry, keep mom and dad up. They're kind of trouble, aren't they? But I can guarantee you that Chris and Jennifer here, and a whole lot of other people, even Olivia there, loves this little boy because he is now part of their family. That's right. And they're going to love him for the good things and for the bad things, right? It's all part of being a family. But now Elijah just got another birth certificate today, didn't he? A new birth into God's family. Kind of cool. You guys have had that too. For those of you who have been baptized as God called and claimed you to be a member of his family, that sometimes choke each other. She's really loving on him. That's all right. And we rejoice in God calling us and claiming us to be part of his family, that he adopted us. More than adopted us, he said, you belong to me in the waters of baptism. You are part of my family. This is how much I love you. And he gave us his son, Jesus, to suffer and die for us on the cross to make us his family members as well. So is it a good thing to be part of a family? It is. And I want you guys to know that it's a good thing that you have earthly families, but I also want you to know that you have a heavenly family, that you belong to Jesus and you belong to God's kingdom as members, as sons and daughters, as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, guys. Thank you for coming up. Oh, we got to do this. I don't think I've done it yet in this service. Can you guys help me remind them that it's Easter by saying, Christ is risen? All right, let's do it real quick. One, two, three.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I don't think they did that very joyfully or loud, so we're going to try that again. You guys can amp it up a little bit too. So let's try that again. A little bit more enthusiasm. I need a little bit more enthusiasm. So your line is, Christ. Okay, so one, two, three.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Indeed, Christ is risen. He is our Lord and our Savior from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And he's the one that says, Elijah and all of y'all, welcome to the family, to my family. God's blessings to you all. All right, if you guys want to head back to your seats, you can grab a sucker. Just grab one. Don't try to pick a color. And we'll join in singing hymn number 725. What you get is what you get. Thanks for coming up, guys. All right. Oh, here you go. Here you go. There you are. Thanks for coming up. There we go. Go. Oops. Up. Here we go.
Oh, here you go, Liz.
Here you go, Hannah.
Heaven, such a refuge there was given. Though he's low and nourished, and his holy courts he flourish. Evil things he spares them, arms he neither life nor death can ever from the Lord his. He knoweth, though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. Purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy.
Here again, a few verses from our first reading for today from Acts chapter 8. The eunuch has already read God's word. God's already done his action of saving this man. But the man asks for a sure and certain sign of God's promise, his fealty to the man. And it says, "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." That is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Gary Languish, I just saw you. Welcome, and praise God. Well, praise God for that, indeed. Awesome. So good to see you. Sorry. Just caught my eye. God does miracles indeed, and a miracle today for little boy Elijah. What is to prevent him and all of you and any human being from being with God? Sin is. Sin is the thing that comes between us and God that destroys the relationship, and God has to look at us and say, "I can't have anything to do with you. You are sinful. You are outside of me and outside of my kingdom." Can you imagine saying that about a little baby? A little baby who is born helpless and hopeless. A baby who needs everything given to it. Could you imagine turning your back on it and saying, "You're too much trouble. I want nothing to do with you"? That's what God was forced to do when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. What he was forced to do as he flooded the entire world, got rid of and eradicated every part of his creation, save for those in the ark of salvation. God abhors and hates sin. And you and I, apart from him acting on us, would have no hope. Jennifer and Christopher, you look at that little boy, Elijah, and you say, "Despite all of the troubles and all of the woes, and because you are a sinner, we still love you." And that's how your Heavenly Father feels about every single one of you. That despite your sin, despite the things that you do that you know you should not do, according to God's law and his will, your Heavenly Father still loves you. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather. Nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. We have in our lesson for today a eunuch. He is a man who was called to serve at the highest levels in his nation, in Ethiopia. He served the Candace of Ethiopia. She was essentially the queen. And he was in charge of her treasury, all of her money. He took care of it. He was a great steward of it. And he had gone on a journey to Jerusalem up from Ethiopia. He had gone into the temple to worship, but he could not get to the Holy of Holies. He could not be in the outer ring or the ring beyond that. He had to be off in the farthest reaches in the court of the Gentiles. But he was also a eunuch. And for the Jewish people, they knew that that was something that was not good, something that was outside of what you're supposed to do. But God still welcomed this man. He went and he worshiped, and as he was on his way back, he was not driving and texting at the same time, but he was driving and reading a scroll at the same time. Or maybe somebody was driving for him, the chariot. And he's reading along, and he reads these words, "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And he asks a question. Have you ever asked a question before? I hope some of you have. I remember going through grade school, and I always was afraid to raise my hand to ask a question. No problem answering, right? The kids would kind of hate me because I'd keep putting my hand up to answer questions. But I would not raise my hand to ask a question. Why is it so hard for us to do that? I think there's multiple reasons. One of them is we don't want to look stupid, dumb. We don't want to appear as if we don't know. So Jennifer, when Elijah wants to be able to walk, is he going to ask you, "Can you teach me how to walk?" Probably not. You're going to mimic it for him. He's going to see you, he's going to see the motivation, and you guys are going to encourage him to do that. Now, as Olivia gets a little bit older and she asks a question about something, are you going to try to answer it? Well, sure. That's what parents do. But why do we struggle to ask questions? Because sometimes we're afraid that we won't like the answer. Philip hears the question of this eunuch. He reads this scroll in the book of Isaiah, and he says to himself, "What is he talking about? Who is the he here? Who is the one who is being led like slaughter, like a lamb before a shearer is silent? Who is the pronoun he here referring to?" You see, sometimes you and I simply need to be asked the question, "Who is Jesus to you? Why is it that you believe in these things? Why is it that you believe that baptism saves?" Sometimes you are challenged with these questions of your faith, and sometimes when you're asked the question, you cower in fear because you don't know the answer, and you say, "You'll have to talk to my pastor because I don't know." Have you ever thought being a member of a church means that you're going to be learning? It's not only about service, that's a good thing. It's not only about coming and joining in worship, that's a good thing. But it's also about learning. About learning about your faith, learning about God. It's about raising your hand and asking those questions that you don't understand. Look what it did for the eunuch. The answer was given. It's talking about Jesus. And we're told that Philip takes the whole of Scripture and he expresses to the eunuch exactly what these things are about. And he responds in faith and he says, "Look, there's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Chris and Jennifer looked at their little baby boy, knowing that he has sin, and said, "Why shouldn't he be baptized?" The little boy brought to the waters of baptism. Simple things, just water, just words. It's not a real big flashy show. There's not a whole lot to it. But guess what? That's exactly how God works, in the small, simple things. He knows that you and I need to see something physical. And so there is the water, just plain Sweet Springs water, nothing special about it. There's a little baby boy. How much does he weigh? About 10 pounds? Or has he gained a little bit of weight? 11 pounds. Awesome. A little baby boy weighing 11 pounds. I heard it from mom and dad. And a pastor who is a sinner, and a boy who is a sinner, and parents who are sinners but want what is good for their son, and a pastor who wants what is good for this little boy. God says, here you go. My name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit applied to him, water washing over his head. God combines the two and says, you now are mine. It's so simple. But it is God's grace. And it's the way God works. The eunuch received baptism that day. He received faith in Jesus Christ. When did you receive faith in Jesus? You can point to your baptism and say it's there. For some of you, it's going to be because you heard God's word and it was taught to you by your parents or your grandparents or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor. God uses means to deliver to us what was won at the cross of Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago and many thousands of miles away. And he bestows it to us freely. There is nothing that I can do. There was nothing that Elijah did to be baptized, to be saved. It is all done for him freely. At a great price, though, the Son of God would lay down his life. But that you and I can hear words like verse 3 of our sermon hymn and know and believe that it is true. That neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knoweth. You and I have opportunity to confess that sin before God. And he hears our pleas, and he says, you are forgiven. I want to invite you after church today. I know the baptismal party, you guys are busy with stuff downstairs and pictures and the like, but Bible study for today, adult Bible study, we're going to meet in the sanctuary here. And I know a lot of you don't come. You don't come. For whatever reasons, you don't come. I was making copies and I thought maybe 15 will do. But I got a little adventurous and I did 20. It's on forgiveness. Whether it's your forgiveness of another person or another person's forgiveness for you or the guilt that you feel for yourself and the forgiveness you need for yourselves, we're going to be talking about forgiveness, but it's going to be a time for us to raise our hands and ask questions. You see, you know as well as I that a sermon is only a one-way street. I can see faces and occasionally elicit some answers, but that's about it. Bible study, Bible class is where I get to hear from you, God's people, and you get to challenge me and ask questions about things going on in your lives. Please, please consider it. It's a law thing, I know. You need to know that regardless of that, you are saved and you are redeemed and you are God's people. But as a coach encourages his or her players, I need to encourage you to be gathered with the brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus and study of God's word, that we may grow in our faith, because this world is aligned against us and it seeks to devour and to take away your faith. That faith was given to this little boy in baptism today. But Jesus says, not only baptize, but also teach. And Chris and Jennifer have already done that in their household. They pray with their children. They spend time in God's word as a family. And they make sure that their family, no matter how much wrestling they got to do with them, that they are in church. And we praise God for that. May we also seek to do that. Not to be saved, but to grow. You see, when people ask you questions about your faith and you have no answer, it's because you haven't learned and because you're not studying. May you and I seek opportunity to do so, that we may grow in our faith, be strengthened as the mighty trees that are around the riverbanks at this place and in this town and in this community and the surrounding areas. They are rooted deeply in that soil so that when those waters come as a flood, they hold fast. May you and I hold fast in our faith by studying God's word, by asking the questions, by being fed and strengthened in Him. May God's gracious peace be and abide with you. But I would be remiss if I did not leave you with those words that you long to hear and that we all need to hear, that God does demonstrate His own love for each of us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for the eunuch, for Philip, for Elijah, and for every single one of you. His peace be and abide with you, His people. Amen. We continue in our worship then as we join in singing hymn number 789, Praise and Thanksgiving. We receive our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And please, we welcome all of our visitors and guests with us today. And we would like to know that you are here. So if you don't mind filling out that red register that is in your pews, that'll be passed to you. And we would certainly like to send greetings to you as our care committee does. Thank you for being here. God's blessings, and we join in singing. Praise and thanksgiving, Father, we offer for all things living, created good, harvest of sown fields, fruits of the orchard, hay from the mown fields, and wood. Bless, Lord, the labor we bring to serve you, that with our neighbor we may be fed. Sowing or tilling, we would work with you, harvesting, milling for daily bread. Father, providing food for your children, by your wise guiding, teach us to share one with another, so that rejoicing with us all others may know your care.